Scissors? No, too large and oddly shaped for that. Tongs. Oh, gods, I whispered, understanding too late. I turned away, but there was no avoiding the horrible sounds. Saruman's gagging cry, Tavril's grunt of effort, the wet tear of flesh. It took only a moment. Tavril handed the tongs back to the servant with a sigh of disgust. The servant took them away. Saruman made a single raw sound, not so much a scream as a wordless protest. Then she sagged between the guards, moaning. Hold her head forward, please, Tavril cautioned. I heard him as if from a distance through fog. We don't want her to choke. Wait, I said. Gods, I could not think. That sound would echo in my nightmares. Yes, Erushoth? Other than sounding a bit winded, the Lord Aramiri's tone was the same as always. Polite, soft-spoken, warm. I wondered if I would throw up. Date, I said, and the missing godlings. She could have told us. Now Saruman would say nothing ever again. If she knew, she would never tell, he said. He mounted the steps and sat down again. The servant, having disposed of the tongs behind the curtain, hurried back out and handed him a cloth for his hands, which he used to wipe each finger. But most likely, she and Date agreed to separate in order to protect each other. Saruman is a full-blood, after all. She would have known to expect harsh questioning in the event of capture. Harsh questioning. Noble language for what I'd just witnessed. And unfortunately, the matter is out of my hands, he continued. I caught a hint of a gesture. The main doors opened and another servant entered, carrying something that caught my eye at once because it glowed as brightly as the rest of this so magical palace. And unlike the walls and floor, the object that the servant carried was a bright, cheerful rose color, a small rubber ball, like something a child might play with. Tavril took this ball from the servant and continued. Not only has my cousin forgotten that Brighty Tempest no longer rules the gods, but she has also forgotten that we Aramiri now answer to several masters rather than one. The world changes. We must change with it or die. Perhaps, after hearing of Saruman's fate, more of my full-blood cousins will remember this. He turned his hand and let the pink ball fall. It bounced against the floor beside his chair, and he caught it, then bounced it twice more. A boy appeared before him. I recognized him at once and gasped. Sia, the child godling who had once tried to kick Shiny to death, the trickster who had once been an Aramiri slave. What? He asked, sounding annoyed. He glanced toward my gasp once, then looked away with no change in his expression. I prayed to no god in particular that he had not recognized me, though with Shiny standing beside me, that was a thin hope. Tavril inclined his head respectfully. Here is one of the killers of your siblings, Lord Sia, he said, gesturing at Saruman. Sia raised his eyebrows, turning to her.
I remember her. Dakarta's third removed niece or something left years ago.
A wry, unchildlike smile crossed his face.
Really, Tavril? The tongue?
Tavril handed the pink ball back to the servant, who bowed and took it away. There are those in the family who believe I am too gentle. He shrugged, glancing at the guards. An example was necessary.
So I see.
Sia trotted down the steps until he stood before Saruman, though I saw him fastidiously step around the blood that darkened the floor.
Having her will help, but I don't think Naha will restore the sun until you have the demon, do you?
No, said Tavril. We're still looking for him. Saruman made a sound then, and the little hairs on my skin prickled. I could feel her attention, could see her straining toward me as she made the sound again. There was no way to make out words, or even be certain she had tried to speak. But somehow I knew. She was trying to tell Sia about me. She was trying to say, there is a demon. But Tavril had seen to it she would never tell my secret, not even to the gods. Sia sighed at Saruman's struggles to speak.
I don't care what you have to say, he said.
Saruman went still, watching him in fresh apprehension.
Neither will my father. If I were you, I'd save my strength to pray he's not in a creative mood.
He waved a hand, lazy, careless, and perhaps only I saw the flood of black, flame-like raw power that lashed out from that hand, coiling for a moment like a snake before it lunged forward and swallowed Saruman whole. Then it vanished, and Saruman went with it. And then Sia turned to us.
So you're still with him?
He said to me. I was very aware of my hand holding Shiny's. Yes, I replied. I lifted my chin. I know who he is now.
Do you really?
Sia's eyes flicked to Shiny, stayed there.
Somehow I doubt that, mortal girl. Not even his children know him anymore.
I said I know him now, I said, annoyed. I had never liked being patronized, regardless of who was doing it, and I had been through enough in recent weeks to no longer fear a godling's temper. I don't know what he was like before. That person is gone, anyway. He died the day he killed the lady. This is just what's left. I jerked my head toward Shiny. His hand had gone slack, I think with shock. It's not much, I'll grant you. Sometimes I want to kick him senseless myself. But the more I get to know him, the more I realize he's not as much of a lost cause as all of you seem to think. Sia stared at me for a moment, though he quickly recovered.
You don't know anything about it.
He clenched his fist. I half expected him to stamp his feet.
He killed my mother. All of us died that day. And he's the one who killed us. Should we forget that?
No, I said. I could not help it. I pitied him. I knew how it felt to lose a parent in a way that defied all sense.